And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We are coming to you live this, it is the 19th of July already, 2018, and coming to you from a beautiful, sunny, warm today and dry Radio Ranch. The hay is, some of it's been cut. It's drying in the field, praise the Lord. And been a dry day, actually red flag warning when it comes to fire. But beautiful day here, beautiful day. And hope you're having a beautiful day. I know there's some weather throughout the Midwest. Ohio slammed with tornadoes today. Multiple tornadoes through central Iowa just recently here, just in the last few hours. In Pella, southeast of Des Moines, and damage in Marshalltown, Iowa. We're going to pray for them tonight. The hospital in Marshalltown was being evacuated. Not a big town, about 40 patients being moved to Waterloo and Grundy. And the forecast was, saw one clip that there was one tornado right across the house, the street from this man, and he panned over to the left, and there was another one over in some little town, not sure, didn't get the name of it, but multiple tornadoes east of Des Moines, past Altoona and Prairie City and Colfax. So we're going to pray for the remnant that's in Iowa tonight and elsewhere that might not have that good weather that we have here. But praise the Lord, we're going to do that. Well, join us, won't you? And we'll have the phone lines open in just a little bit. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, this beautiful day here, Lord. Thank you for all of your blessings upon your people, Lord. We know that you have good plans for us, plans to prosper us and not plans for calamity. And so, Lord, thank you. We thank you for your safety for these firefighters out on the fires, Lord. We pray for your comfort on the family of the one firefighter dozer operator out in Yosemite that crashed his dozer and passed away, Lord. We pray for his family, that you would comfort them. And Father, we pray for your remnant in Iowa. Lord, we know these storms are part of this fallen world that we experience, but Lord, we know that you are our rock and our refuge, our shelter in the storm. And so we pray that, Lord. We pray you, the shelter in our storm, for the remnant that are in Iowa, Lord, that are in Pella, and that are in Marshalltown, and Altoona, and Prairie City, and Colfax, and all the places that were hit, Lord. We pray for your protection, that, Lord, that families would be reunited, that, Father, these people that were affected by these tornadoes, Lord, would draw closer to you, that Lord, you would be glorified in all of this. And Father, we do. We claim that protection, that again, you are, Lord, we claim and we proclaim that you are our refuge and our shelter. And we claim that for your remnant there, Lord. And for those that, Lord, let it be a testimony to those, Lord, to those that are yours and also to those that are not, Lord, that they would see that your people are protected, Lord. Let that be a testimony. Father, guide and direct us here tonight, Lord, as I look forward to this evening of fellowship with you and with the remnant, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to do this. I give you all the praise and glory, Lord. Father, we pray for our leaders, Lord, our county leaders, our city, state, and government leaders, Lord, local and all the way up to the federal government, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon them, that you would lead, guide, and direct them down the path that you have before them, that you would use them, Lord, to do your will, and that, Lord, they would do so willingly. Strengthen them, Lord, and let them have your Holy Spirit guidance. Let them have your word, Lord, that comes to us and that we have in print form, Lord, as a foundation for the decisions that they make. We pray this, Lord. You say we have not because we ask not. Well, we ask, Lord, for godly leaders. We ask for leaders that Lord, will honor you first and foremost. We thank you for hearing and for answering our prayers, all to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And yeah, I saw, again, some pretty bad tornadoes. Houses being blown apart. Apparently the Vermeer agricultural plant in Pella got hit, and extensive damage there. And so we ask you to continue to keep Iowa and Iowans in your prayers, folks, as the evening goes on. That is part of what we are to do. If you read today's, when we read today's Bible reading, it's in there to do that, that we are to, well, to look to our Lord and Savior, but we are to pray for one another and to lift others' concerns up to Him. So I hope that you do that. We will have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913, if you have a comment or a question, and have several current events that I wanted to talk about. Some over in England, and it just continues to go on and on, the violence, and had some statistics on that. Their knife gun and attacks are just on the rise. So have some statistics on that. This caught my attention. Rudyard Kipling, the poet from back at the turn of the century, late 1800s, early 1900s, have a couple of his poems tonight. Maybe we'll get to them. But in Manchester University, the students there saw a news report here that they've defaced a large-scale copy of Rudyard Kipling's poem, If, and it's in their student union. And the university thought enough of this poem to basically put it up on, it's either on the floor or on the wall, but it's it is an inspirational poem, if you're not familiar with it. And basically, these, whatever you want to call them, left-wing liberals that want to change and that hate the white Christian religion and white Christians as well. Here's a quote from it. It says, "Well known as author of the racist poem, The White Man's Burden, and a plethora of other works that sought to legitimize the British Empire's presence in India and dehumanize people of color," which that was not the purpose at all, but see, there's the racism card that gets thrown up. "It is deeply inappropriate to promote the work of Kipling in our student union." So they defaced his poem, and they replaced it with the words of Mary Angelou, black, so that black and brown voices that have been written out of history long enough can finally be reversed. Really? Really? And so this poem, wanted to read it, thought about a little poetry tonight, but this poem, If, and I think we ought to advertise it and make it printed up nice, because I'm going to share it again. I know I've shared it with my older children, with my older boys, but I've got a new crop of boys coming up now that are fast advancing to adulthood. And I'm glad that I was reminded of this today, because the virtues that this poem puts forth, they're things like having courage in adversity, and having determination, and cool-headedness, and those type things. And so, honesty, and resilience, and patience. Let's read it. Because there was a reason that, see, years ago in this Manchester University, that this poem was put in there. Because at one time, these universities and colleges were meant to inspire, they were meant to educate. They understood that the law of God was the law of the land. And this is what used to be in the universities. Okay, let's read it. It's called If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet, don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master. If you can think and not make thoughts your aim. If you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. So here's a poem written 130 years ago that does promote patience and modesty and loyalty and cool-headedness and honesty and resilience and courage in adversity and determination, the kind of virtues and values that any young person in the world, man, young man or young woman, son or daughter, of any background would do well to be exposed to and to desire and to hear and to say, you know, I need to be that way. But no, not in these houses of advanced learning. No, not there. Not there. That is what our universities have come through. It is. I have some information on Kipling. Thought it was quite interesting in reading through it. I highlighted one part, and I did want to share before. And there's another poem that he wrote, The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon, is what it has been called lately. It originally was called The Beginnings, back from 1914 to 1918. And it has been somewhat updated with the word Saxon replacing the word English. And we'll see. See if I can find this in this quote. I think this was it here. Yes. It says, poet T.S. Eliot, which he edited a choice of Kipling's verse with an essay. And he was aware of the complaints that had been leveled against Kipling. And he dismissed them one by one. See, even then, these truths that were put out by this poet laureate were being attacked. That Kipling was a Tory or a journalist pandering to popular taste. While T.S. Eliot writes, I can't find any justification for the charge that he held a doctrine of race superiority. And so even in his writings, The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon, it's just that this man was able to put out a message of truth and of hope, as a poet does, as in our society, in our advanced society, where we live at peace, and we can have men compose poetry and do that, as opposed to other cultures that do not. Now, George Orwell, who was a left-wing, liberal, communist, socialist, antichrist? Well, he didn't like Kipling or Kipling's work as well. He thought Kipling was, quote, morally insensitive and aesthetically disgusting. So, anyway, one more poem by Kipling. How about that? And if you'd like a copy of that If by Rudyard Kipling, and I would suggest all parents get it to read to their sons and their daughters and to put it up on the wall so that they can see this and remember it, so that our children say, well, that for my dad or my mom to tell me, that this is what I have to do. If I can do these things, I'll be a man. Well, see, these things are lost today because our men are lost today. This next generation coming up and the generation that's here now, whew, it's tough. You know, when it says, we've not planning on spending a whole broadcast on this, but it just keeps coming to mind. It says, you know, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. Boy, we sure don't hear that today. No, it's, that person took $5 from me, or, I've lost this and I've lost that, and I'm entitled to this, and I'm entitled to that. And it's just not... It's just not to be. It's not. Well, one more. I guess it's poetry night. One more. The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon. And you've heard that before. You've heard Pastor speak of it. But I think it applies here. Maybe we'll hold off. I got a phone call and want to talk about some other things that are going on over in Europe. So, good evening. Welcome to 7 times 70.
Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Richard?
Yes.
You were talking about Kipling.
Yeah, I still am. Yes, ma'am. How you doing, Miss Irene?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to tell you that in sixth grade in 1960, we were required to memorize that poem.
I
couldn't pass Miss Sherman's class without memorizing that poem.
Wow, how about that? Awesome.
So I thought I would just tell you that. That was in Austin.
Awesome.
So... Well, we've come a long way, haven't we?
Unfortunately, we have.
Well, I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Miss Irene. God bless. Thanks for the call.
You too.
All right. So, folks, you see that. That is the culture we used to have when we had a white Christian culture in this nation. Now, by saying that, that does not denigrate other cultures, but there are differences. And the culture we have today and the resulting crime and degradation of our society today, I think it can be traced to the information and the things we've heard in this poem being done away with. Because, somebody else thinks, well, if you say that, you're racist. Well, that's your opinion. And it's not what's being put out. However, in England, the reports are that knife, gun, rape attacks, and homicides continue to rise rapidly, exceeding that of New York City. They call them high harm. How about that? High harm. That's just something kind of twisted in translation there. High harm violent offenses involving weapons are soaring in England and Wales. Knife, gun crime, homicide, all up. Police are also recording 31% more rapes in the first 3 months of this year than the first 3 months of last year. 21% more other sexual offenses than just rape. And offenses involving knives or sharp instruments rose 16%. Homicides up 12%. Yes. Well, you know, they have a Muslim mayor. Who is that? Kerr? Khan? Mayor Khan? He says he can't solve knife crime by himself. Nope, can't do it. Can't do it. Well, you know, maybe because your borders are open and you got so many of other cultures pouring in. Robberies have soared by 30% in the last 12 months. And the murder rate has surpassed that of New York City. Hospital surgeons compare the condition there in London, in England, and Wales to a war zone. Why? Well, you know, the governor says he's done nothing wrong. It's just the way it is. Can't do anything about it. They just turn a blind eye to this. Well, it's because they are being invaded. They are absolutely being invaded. We're seeing that. Hungary. Got this. Wanted to share this with you. This was some pretty interesting thing, and maybe we'll try to share this again on Saturday. But they have a UN... a UN resolution that has just passed, and it's a compact, and it is, let's see what it says here. It is didn't know if I had, I don't think I have the quote there, but it's the migration compact. And Hungary has announced that it's a threat to the world and that they will follow President Donald J. Trump's America in rejecting this globalist agreement. And I say hallelujah to that. And this is what they call it, the draft for the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration, which claims that huge movements of people across borders are, quote, inevitable, necessary, and desirable, was approved on Friday by all UN members except the United States, which withdrew last year. Praise God for that. Yes, open the borders. Let people move anywhere. There's no sovereigns. It's just, we're right, kumbaya, kumbaya. We're all just one big happy brotherhood of man. I'm sorry, it's not that way. The White House said the compact was, quote, simply not compatible with U.S. sovereignty. Amen to that. And this has just been, passed, approved Friday. The foreign minister from Hungary said this document is entirely against Hungary's security interests, that it is extreme and biased, that Budapest, their proposals were ignored during the development of the document, and basically that this was the quote here, says it fails to address the rights of individuals who simply want to live in peace and stability in their homelands. And that is what it is. Last month, the same prime minister saying, hey, this represents an extreme danger to all of the European Union nations, as it would basically force all the nations to give up any countering any type of illegal immigration. Quote here said, if the goals set down in the plan are realized, then the makeup of Europe's population will change radically in the upcoming few years. Now, folks, we've talked about this before. We've brought it up before. But see, it's not just us bringing it up now. It's the Prime Minister of Hungary is seeing this. And it is just, it's utterly ridiculous. Had some quote, you know, the president was over there this past month, or actually this just past couple weeks. And here they had a quote. It says, and this was a quote from the president. He said, he said immigration policies. It's really invasion policies. But I'll read his quote. And our president was quoted here. The invasion policies of Europe are a disaster. You are destroying Europe. You are destroying Europe. You're destroying the culture of Europe. The crime is up in these areas. The crime rate is changing faster than the culture. So our president sees it. He had a quote here, not one country has been improved by mass immigration, it says, but that really means invasion. And that is one of the reasons that I think that our president has been as popular as he has been. He is certainly no saint, whether he's a Christian or not. I don't know. That's up to you. It sure seems like the fruits coming out of what he's doing are good fruits. But he is saying what the people, the majority of the people in this country are thinking. It just is. We are seeing it. And don't think that it's going to stop at the edge of the water. We are seeing it here. You know anybody in Dearborn, Michigan, where we are already seeing this? We are seeing the crime increase and go up here in the States as well, in these no-go zones, these enclaves of mainly Muslim immigrants, where they have done their best to invoke Sharia law here in the United States. Time for another poem. The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon. And again, the original, I think it was as originally written, was The Beginnings. And it appears to be the only change was it was English instead of Saxon. It was not part of their blood. It came to them very late, with long arrears to make good, when the Saxon began to hate. They were not easily moved. They were icy, willing to wait. till every count should be proved, ere the Saxon began to hate. Their voices were even and low, their eyes were level and straight. There was neither sign nor show when the Saxon began to hate. It was not preached to the crowd, it was not taught by the state. No man spoke it aloud when the Saxon began to hate. It was not suddenly bred, it will not swiftly abate. Through the chilled years ahead, when time shall count from the date that the Saxon began to hate. If you like those poems, you can write to us. We've got them printed out. I'd be glad to send it to you. If you'd like to include a donation to help with postage, that'd be great. Be glad to get it out to you. There was one other bit of current events that caught my eye right here, and it was in the business impact portion of the news. Don't get to that too often, but it said Fukushima's nuclear signature found in California wine. And I'm not going to take the time to go through the whole article, but basically they have been testing wine between, of course, the Fukushima disaster of 2011. It was like another Chernobyl, caused by a meltdown at the Fukushima nuclear power plant following a massive earthquake and tsunami. And we touched base on that and mentioned it in our latest Dragon Slayer Volume 5, entitled We Are All Watchmen. So if you haven't gotten that, we touch base on this Fukushima earthquake and the resulting disaster that's happened there. But basically what researchers have done is they've tested a big batch of California wines from 2009 to 2012. And before the Fukushima disaster in 2011, there is no trace of this minute amounts of cesium-137. And it, again, don't have time to get into the whole program. I can send you the article if you'd like. But basically, wine produced after 2011, basically there was an increase in activity in noting the cesium-137 radioactive material that was in there by a factor of 2. So it doubled. It doubled. It went from basically non-existent to, it says it went up by a factor of 2. And so I like the way it ends up, the article here. It says, the result does show how nuclear disasters can have unexpected consequences long after the fact. And so we are seeing that. I've seen reports, and we've shared them with you, about how the ocean is still being, the radioactivity is still being detected over in the oceans between Japan and Alaska and the west coast of Canada and the west coast of the United States, and how the fish have changed and the amount of fish have changed. And how the plankton is changing. The base of the food chain out there is not near what it was before the Fukushima reactor debacle. And so, folks, I just mentioned these not to fear, not to cause fear, not to get you scared, not at all, but to be aware of these things that are going on in universities, not just here, but over in Manchester as well in England. And for us to be aware of the things that are going to, just because you see it on Fox News, okay, or on CNN, and even Fox, last current event of the night, the gaying of Fox News. Here had some, I guess they've got some Fox News political analyst Guy Benson announced his engagement to another man on Twitter. What? Guys, these people don't inherit the kingdom of God. They don't. Not those that practice lawlessness. And if you're an adulterer out there, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And if you're a liar and you practice lying and you don't have a love for the truth, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so these bastards at Fox News, same thing. It applies to all of us, folks. They will not inherit the kingdom. Nor those that heartily support them. Our word tells us. It's as simple as that. Got a song for you. I'll be back. Wrap this. And the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. I really like this song. Because there will be a day. There will. Praise God. There will be a day.
Try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope, in the promise that he brings, there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face.
We'll see.
that day is fast approaching. It is. Well, we've got a couple callers here. Let's see if we can get a call on. Hey, good evening. Bob, right?
Yep.
How hey, you Bob.
Doing?
Good. Doing good.
Just spotted this a few minutes ago, a truly disturbing news clip. Are you familiar with a bit of history about the Battle of Tours in France?
You know, I've seen something about that not too long ago. Maybe it was in doing research here with Kipling.
Okay.
But
well,
I got another caller on hold too, so can't get too involved with it. But
the Muslims had invaded from North Africa and come across Spain and took down the Visigothic kingdom. This was in the 700s, and they crossed the Pyrenees mountains and they came into what is now France, and they had this epic, huge battle at the city of Tours. Charles Martel gathered together a couple of the German tribes, the Franks and the Burgundians, and they had this decisive battle at Tours. And this is where the Muslim forces were defeated, and the Muslim king that was engaging in this battle was killed. And you know, the people at the time were thinking that, well, you know, this was a mark of God giving this victory to Charles because of their being Christian. And so now, today in the news, I see that the Muslims have gotten the go-ahead to build what looks like it might be the largest mosque in Europe on the place where this battle had been fought.
Well, that sounds like what they did in New York City, you know?
Yeah, but this is significant. It's just like putting it on the spot where you defeated us 1,200 years ago, but we've come back and
we
defeated you, and now this is we've taken this place where you beat us before, and we're going to build this huge mosque just to stick it right, our finger right in your eye, right on the spot where this battle was, because this is a crowning achievement for us here.
No doubt. When you see the things that they have done in the European nations, like I've mentioned in the news report, you know, the Hungary is seeing that, and they're doing all they can to back out.
And Poland.
But it's just, until we return to our God, I don't see it getting any better. I just don't. Because
we need to do more than that, though. That is the first step. But
that is the first step.
We need to take responsibility for certain things for ourselves, too. You
know? Well, and when we return to our God.
We can't just let everything just go.
Right.
Here in our country, you know, there's horrible things happening, like in our schools with what they're teaching. And,
absolutely.
And,
absolutely. Part of that, because
if our people don't take responsibility and sit on the school boards and the city council
and be involved,
you're going to have someone else do it.
That's right. We have grown fat and kicked, like the Song of Moses says. So.
Perfect.
Well, hey, Bob.
Perfect phrase.
Yep. Thanks for the call. I'm going to get with Joe over here. Good talking to you, brother. And Joe, let me bring you on. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, Richard. Good to hear you here live on your program here on Thursday. I just wanted to let you know that I missed three-quarters of your show, and the reason why is because I got home late, and I was down in the cellar trying to get the well going, and I finally purged it. Is the problem with there's air. Let me turn the water off. there's an airlock, I guess. But anyway, that's where I am. You can hear me. I'm in a big empty. But anyway, I just wanted to spur you on there, you and the guys, and God bless you and prosper you. And we'll definitely be listening in. And I'm going to let you go and finish your talk there. Have
right,
a good
Joe.
Evening and God bless.
All right, good to hear from you. God bless. Good luck with that water well.
Yeah, thank you.
All
Have
right.
a good evening.
All right. And so the lines are open, 307-745-5913. There will be a day. Kipling talks about it, the day the Anglo-Saxons begin to hate. I know our pastor did a poem that went along with that, and it was the day the Anglo-Saxons begin to love. And the love and hate that is talked about here is if you're going to love, don't you have to hate something? You know, I love the country western song. You got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. And our today's Bible reading talks about that. When you read through it, it's 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3 that it even says in here, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, they basically were, they perished. They were destroyed. They died. They lost what they had. Because they wouldn't have a love for the truth. And we have to be truth seekers. We have to love that truth. And if we love the truth, then we hate a lie. Okay? If you love your family, then you hate anyone that would wish them harm. I heard a man give a speech one time, and in it he talked about it. He said, yes, we love, as people, we love like a mother. A mother loves, but we hate like a father. We nurture like a mother, but we protect and defend like a father. We have to do that. We have to do that. And like Bob from Ohio, when he called in and said, that is not being done. We people are being so browbeat and so worried that they're going to say the wrong thing. And why not? Why not? Even Papa John's. Papa John's. Oh, my gosh. You mentioned the word. I probably shouldn't say it either. But you're just let out to dry. How is it that one word that people of other cultures call each other, and it's okay, but then, God forbid, a person not of that culture uses the word not in a derogatory sense, but in a historical sense, and you're kicked out of the university, your money's given back, you're no longer part of the big to-do of Babylon. For truth? And that's where we are. But you know, as that song says, there will be a day. There will be a day. Let me read about a day in Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That day is coming. There will be that day. That day is coming. And it says down in verse 7 of Revelation 21, just a little bit lower, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That day is coming. Praise God, that day is coming. There's another day coming. Let me flip over to it in Philippians. And it's about that same day. And let's read it in Philippians. And Philippians 2. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, for this reason also, God highly exalted him, meaning Jesus, and bestowed on him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. You read that in Isaiah 45:23. Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, that day's coming. There will be that day. Praise God that there will be that day. There is a day coming, and I look forward to that day when the lies are done away with, when the tears, as the song said, are done away with. There's no more fear, no more tears, no more pain. I look forward to that day. I look forward to that day to see those that have gone before and to be reunited with them and reunited with those that we're at odds with today. There are those out there that lie about those of us here at the ministry and about this ministry, but you know, we still love them. And I look forward to that day that we can fellowship once again in truth and in spirit, glorifying Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, together. There will be a day. There will be a day that there will be no more Muslim hordes in this country. There will be a day when Jesus Christ's word is taught and read without fear and without retribution. There will be that day. There will be the day that there is no fear. I like how it says here in Philippians 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. You know, when we read in that, the wrath, their voices were even and low, their eyes were level and straight. It wasn't preached, it wasn't taught, it just happened. And I think that comes from here. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It starts out with rejoice. We rejoice. Doesn't matter what happens. We rejoice. We praise Him who saved us, who overcame this death that we just read about in Revelation. Our Lord and Savior who overcame that for you and for me, so that we too can overcome that. We have to not forget that is a part of the gospel message as well. And if we are going to live again with Him, what can man do to us? What can man do to me? What lies can man make up and say that bother me? Well, guys, we're out of time. Wow, where'd that hour go? Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us. Remnant, know that we pray for you. We thank all of those of you that support us with your prayers and with your financial gifts and tithes and offerings. That is what allows us to maintain, to keep on, to put these broadcasts out. And not just these, but we do broadcast out. We broadcast the pastor's messages 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The hard-hitting gospel truths that continue from 35 years ago to this one today. And we do that because of your support and because of your prayers. And so we thank you for that. If you'd like to support us, you can do it. You can write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And we're on the web at scripturesforamerica.org. And if you'd like to send an email, many people do that. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And we encourage you to come back to to two things. Visit our network website, sfawbn.com. Our complete broadcasting schedule's there. We've changed the schedule up a little bit. We've done some the replays a little bit later, maybe on a different frequency, different times, to try to get the newer messages out a little bit to a little varied audience. So we've changed the broadcast schedule up just a little bit. So if you go there, sfawbn.com, you can see that. And we encourage you to come back Saturday morning. We're all going to be here Saturday morning, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, as they say, for coffee with the Wranglers. And we'll be here with the phone lines open. And so we encourage you to plan now on joining us then. That's Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. on the East Coast. And West Coast at 6 a.m. So you guys out there on the West Coast have to get up a little bit earlier. But we hope you'll join us there. And with that, we'll say goodnight. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless all that are His. Bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.